Qualité. Pendant que je prépare le souper, c'est ses qualités. Plus tard, pour relaxer, je syntonise ses qualités. Et dans mon lit, j'écoute encore ses qualités. Ses qualités! Ses qualités!
My name is Debi, storyteller, dub poet, partly raised in Montreal, 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 launching my new CD 333. You are listening to CKUT 90.3 FM.
Hi Kapwa, and Happy New Year. It is January 3rd and you're tuned into Tita Talks on Radio Kapwa. So excited for this first episode of the year. I feel like it's been a minute since I've had to record something, and I think it has been because the last episode I recorded or that we put out was a pre-recorded episode from 2021, 2022. Time is a colonial construct and I have no idea when I recorded that episode. But in any case, really excited to be back. Feels kind of bright and sparkly and fresh and new. And I love the energy of a fresh start. I'm really adorable at fresh starts, actually. If you don't know me, that's very true of me. Today's episode, the message that I'm feeling excited to share today is that I got laid off from my job. in December, and there is, oh my gosh, so many feelings around it that we're going to get into in this episode. The real kind of meaty parts of the things I want to talk about today is how I have really untethered my worth and value from a job and productivity that comes from a job. And kind of all the decolonial work that has happened over the years in order for this transition to feel almost like I just know that it's right. Like there's a lot of feelings that I have around it, but at the end of the day, there's a lot of ease that's around it, even though it's kind of a unexpected life event. So let's just get right into it. To provide a little bit of backstory, I worked full-time in a corporate job for about a year and a half. I was working in this corporate job for a major telecoms company in Canada. And the way that this job started, and I think that this is kind of an important, I guess, like tone to set in this job, is I did not want to do this job, okay? I just, first and foremost, I do not dream of labor. I do not have a dream job. I love when people ask a question like, what's your dream job? And it's like, I don't dream of labor. I don't want to do this job. I think this job came at a really good time for me, at a correct time. You know, in the very first episode of Tita Talks, we talked about how this podcast found me at the right time. And I do think that all of the things that happened to me happen kind of exactly when they're supposed to. So anyways, let's rewind a year and a half from today. This is August of 2022. I end up getting this job at this telecoms company, and they had held my resume for 6 months. I had applied back in January. I was just like panic applying to jobs, and they held my resume for 6 months, called me back after all of that time to say, hey, we've been holding your resume. We want you for this job. We know that you're working for yourself. Like at that time, I had been working freelance for, I don't know, about 2 years almost. And it was really hard. If I'm being completely honest, entrepreneurship and kind of going out on my own, it felt really rewarding. I think there was a lot of things about that fed my ego. Like I could go out into the world and be like, I'm this girl boss that's going out and out into the world. I am my own boss. I get to set my own hours, this and this and that. But the instability that came from not having a consistent paycheck, coupled with kind of the instability of the rest of my life, and not in any bad way, like neither bad nor good. I don't know, as you know, like I've been traveling around a lot, or maybe as you don't know, but I've been living month to month in different places. My partner and I, we go to a different city almost every other month. We really built our lives around being nomadic, and that piece of not having a stable paycheck every week made all the other parts, it was like almost too chaotic. I needed something stable, and I didn't know that I needed it at the time, but the job kind of came in right at the right time where I was kind of over suffering. Like I didn't want to suffer for my entrepreneurship anymore. I didn't want to feed my ego just to be able to say like, okay, like I'm an entrepreneur, but actually just kind of miserable the whole time because I'm so worried about where my money's coming from. So, you know, I was really resistant when the job came in. And this is an interesting story too that I am now just thinking about sharing, which I haven't really talked about too much, but in the first month of having that job, I just had this major identity crisis, and I made myself physically ill. Like, that's how bad it got. I was very confused about, like, okay, so now I'm back in this corporate job. I think it unearthed a lot of, like, corporate trauma I had from previous jobs. Like, I've worked in corporate for almost 10 years, like, over 10 years now, in a lot of, like, kind of toxic places, and I think being back in that environment kind of unearthed these things that, you know, I thought I had healed from or moved past, but, you know, once you're thrown back into the environment, like, it really just brought it all back. So when I started that job, I just felt really confused, and it took quite a bit of time for me to get to this point where, and, you know, this gets back to, like, the decolonial work or divestment in capitalism, right? Like, I got to this point where I could see this job as just this singular tiny piece of my life, right? Like, if I imagine my life as like 10 different buckets, okay? So I have 10 little buckets. I think maybe 10 years ago, I would have said that my career bucket was the only bucket and there wasn't a lot of other buckets, like maybe a friend's bucket, maybe a family bucket. I maybe have 3 buckets at the time. But now I look at my life as all of these kind of smaller, tiny buckets where it's now important for me to kind of fill all of them more equally than having invested my entire worth, my entire value, almost my entire self-esteem in this one bucket, which was my career, right? So now this career, this job that I have in this corporate world is just this 1 out of 10 bucket. So cool, it's full. And then kind of on the other side here, there's another bucket of financial security where it's like, cool, that's full too. And I can just kind of hang out there. And the other buckets look like community work. They look like Tita Talks. They look like Reclaim Your Wealth. They look like time with my friends and my family. They look like practicing Babayan. It looks like working out and taking care of myself, health and fitness. Like, the buckets are various now, whereas before I didn't have a lot to pour into. So when I talk about, okay, this job came and left the way that it did, there's an ease around it coming in and out because I'm not just relying on this one thing to feed my entire self-esteem, right? And I think the ways in which systems of oppression work perfectly are tricking you into believing that you have to be this perfectly well-oiled capitalist machine, right? Like, you know, we're very much raised that way too. Like, I know I have grown up in a family where we all work 2-3 jobs, right? And it's very much a survivalist thing, but it took a lot of work and a lot of years. I think the 2 years working freelance for myself too really helped in untethering that value that I placed in my own self from how productive I was in a very capitalistic sense, right? And now I see my value as so much more on this planet. Like, the things that I want to do, the things that actually light me up and bring me joy are so far removed from a job. So yeah, when that job came, I was very resistant at first because I just thought, like, who am I? I had this like crazy identity, just like questioning. I was just questioning who I was at that time, right? Because here's this job coming in. It's going to take up all my time. And I just saw, I guess, like, all the negative pieces of it. And it took me a while to get to this place of, like, oh, okay, no, I actually understand that this is just a small piece of my life. And I can sit here and say that right now, and it doesn't seem very interesting or groundbreaking, but as somebody who grew up in a way where, like, I was raised to be such a perfectionist around things, like, that was a really kind of groundbreaking thing for me to do, because I'm not used to being just, like, okay at things or just okay in my career. And that's kind of the second thing that I wanted to talk about. So the first thing was untethering my inherent worth from this job. So understanding that my value and who I am as a person, all of those things, the job has no bearing on who I am, on my soul, as, like, who I am as a person, right? Like, we just are whole at all times, right? And again, like, systems of oppression will work tirelessly all day, every day, to make us believe that we are not enough, that we do not have enough, that we are not of value. And it really helps in the agenda of us, you know, being these perfect little capitalists. So that was kind of the first piece that I wanted to touch on, like, this idea of untethering my identity from this job, my self-worth from this job, because I can see that it's just a small piece of everything else. And then the second part that I want to get into now is kind of on the theme of dropping perfectionism, but what I actually now want to word this as is, like, I just matched the energy of this job, okay? I really love this for me because, again, in this idea of, like, I used to always be such a perfectionist. In this, okay, so now we know this about me. In the past, I am somebody who just had this one bucket. I had this one bucket. My career was so much to me. It was so much of my identity. I cared about it. Not that I don't care about my career, but, like, it just, the worth that I had on this planet to me was completely tied to my career, and it was my whole identity. So in this, like, not being a perfectionist, not being a high top performer, the person who has only one bucket, like, the way that they look at their career, they're gonna do everything perfectly, right? Like, of course I didn't go through my career being absolutely perfect, but I was, in what I understand to be, a very high performer. So kind of always top of the pack. I was always the best at things. Like, my boyfriend loves to make fun of me because, well, he doesn't make fun of me, but he loves to tell this story about coming to my parents' place for the first time, and my dad took him down to the basement and showed him all of mine and my sister's awards over the years for, like, random academic awards. And, oh my God, some of the awards that I had in high school and elementary school, like, they didn't make any sense, but we have an entire wall full of awards. So I don't know, also kind of painting a picture, trying to paint the picture of who I was kind of growing up, like, this hyper achiever. Okay. So that carried into the workplace. And this is literally the first job I've had in 10 years. And I've changed jobs pretty much every 2 years-ish since my career started. So you can do the math from there. But this is the first job where I went in intentionally and, you know, I didn't really want this job. You know, I really came in matching the energy. So what that looked like on a day-to-day basis is I only gave as much as I was expected to do, which, again, seems not groundbreaking to say out loud, but I think a lot of us go into these workplaces giving so much of ourselves, okay? So here's this job, this corporation that I can see that doesn't really actually care about me. Like, I'm a number in this giant corporation. And this is the first time I just was like, you know what? I am going to match the energy. So I came in, I did my job. I didn't do much more on top of that. I was a mid-level performer. And in my head too, when I took this job, I knew it was always going to be temporary. I said when I took this job, I'm like, I'm going to be here for a year-ish and we'll see what happens. Like, I really just want this job to fund the way that I'm living. This job, it utilizes the skills that I have. They sold me this job. I didn't really get to do that job while I was there, and they kind of oversold the job, and I got there and could actively feel my brain melting every day because they weren't using me for all of the skills that I had, but that's another thing. But yeah, I just came in and I matched the energy that was being given to me every day. So I think the advice or lesson that I'm trying to share here is I think it's okay for us to just be mediocre. Like, nothing bad happened to me for being mediocre. You know, there wasn't any major performance issue problems, or, you know, like I was a mid-level performer and things were just fine. And that was the first time in my life where I kind of proved through my own actions to myself, like, oh, so the world doesn't actually implode if I'm not the best at something, or if I'm not a hyper perfectionist. And then, like, look at all of the free mental space it cleared up in order for me to put out community offerings. Like, this year I did so many of the things that I just felt so called to do, and I had the space to do it. And that's on Tita Talks, that's on Reclaim Your Wealth, that's MFBC, whatever. Like, again, the lesson here for me was like, oh, the bad thing that I'm thinking happens when I'm not a perfectionist doesn't actually happen. And the best redirection kind of came from it. So, you know, in this whole lesson of like matched energy, when I got let go, I was just kind of like, thank you. Thank you so much. Because in my head, I had this 1-year exit strategy. I was like ready to leave. But if I had left on my own, I wouldn't have gotten a severance package. I did end up getting a severance package. I probably will be eligible for government assistance, like through EI. And that's a kind of a great scenario for me, because if I had quit on my own, I wouldn't be eligible for any of those things. And the thing that I feel so deeply is like, wow, I am so protected. I am so protected. Like, I don't have to work in this job for the next couple months. I can just kind of like ride it out and see what's next. Like, I think that's so exciting and so beautiful to be protected and supported through that transition. And I think that is a result of this matched energy, right? And this knowing that, like, I am not this job. I can't believe how much ease has come out of this. I'm certainly also the type of person where if something is abruptly taken from my life, a job, a situation, a person, I try not to assign a good or bad to it, but I'm kind of just like, thank you. Like, some ancestor up there is watching and going like, up, like, that's not, let's not go in that direction. Like, it is kind of a divine redirection. And I just know, I don't know what's next. And don't ask me, because I don't know. I don't have the answers, and I don't actually want the answers. That's kind of the beauty of right now, feeling really lost. But wow, I didn't have to, like, I could have quit and it could have been so much worse. So that was like a rambly end to that second point of, well, sorry, that's kind of the energy right now. I'm like feeling a little scattered, but very excited. And you know what? In our non-perfectionist, you know, where this is part of the decolonial work, is this is not going to be a perfect podcast, and you just get to sit here with me through sometimes the word vomit. We will get better at this. The fifth episode, okay, guys? Like, we will get better at this. But yeah, matched energy. I think that is such an important lesson from this, and it also reminds me that I'm so powerful in the way that, like, if I pour energy into something, like, it will get reciprocated in some kind of way, right? I think that is very true of just, like, life and circumstance. Okay, the next thing I want to talk about, the next little point, lesson learned, or resulting thought from being laid off a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, the last couple points have been really nice and warm, fuzzy lessons, but the other thing is I am human, and I was really mad. I was really mad and rageful when this happened. I just felt so mad, and I had to sit with that. I had to really sit with that and just like, oh, I cannot stand being rejected. I cannot stand not being in control of a situation, that piece I really had to sit with. I really just wanted to say this little piece around, like, you know what? You can just feel angry about things for a little bit. And you know what? The angry parts of me are literally just my ego. Like, I can see this for the opportunity that it is, but I feel so rageful because I was like, there's part of me that feels I didn't deserve this, even though the outcome was really great at the end of the day. I do feel a little bit mistreated or mishandled in the communication of it all. Because the way that this is delivered, especially in a corporate setting, is so cold. It's so cold. I am not going to get into the details of that now. But if you want to talk to me one time about it, I will tell people in real life. But the way that the news is delivered is so cold and so corporate. And honestly, again, just reminds me of the other point that I just made around, like, hey, I'm just matching energy. Like, this company doesn't care about me. And I put in kind of a matching energy. But there really was no like, happy, nice point to this other than, like, I just felt some level of rage and let myself be mad for a little bit. It doesn't last long with me. For me, it's, like, three to five business days, and I'm kind of, like, I'm kind of good after. I do like that about myself, where I don't really stew in these feelings. But, oh, wow, I just felt so rejected and small afterwards. But honestly, when I take a step back from the whole thing, it's such a blessing. The whole thing is actually such a blessing. Okay, on to the next point, because the last one was just me to be like, I was mad and now I'm not mad. The thing that this layoff has also taught me is to release my own expectations and adherence to a timeline. So perhaps that's where some of the rage comes from, right? Like, this idea that I think I can control the timeline, or I can control the timeline. That was an interesting choice of words. That I can control things outside of me. Like, I can control all things that are happening over on this end, over here, where I am. But there are just external things that will happen, and I will not have control of it. And I'm definitely the type of person where I feel a lot of stress in scenarios where I can't control things. I think there's a lot to unpack there, but I actually do believe that everything arrives on its perfect time, and that I am on my perfect timeline, right? I think, you know, I'm 32, right? And oh gosh, we're just coming out of the Christmas season, and thankfully I only had one ninang actually, who was just appalled that I wasn't married yet, and she was very worried for me. And I just thought, like, oh no, Tita, I'm worried for you. I'm actually very worried for you that you have time in your life to be worried about the fact that I'm not married. So, detaching from the expectations of, you know, toxic Titas, I think if this had happened to me 10 years ago, this would have worried me a lot more. Like, oh, I'm supposed to do this, or I'm supposed to have this career, or I'm supposed to have it all together, or I'm supposed to know what I'm doing or whatever. But it's all made up. Like, the perfect timeline that, you know, again, no disrespect if you're on this timeline, if this timeline is for you, but I know it's not for me. This, you know, very colonial constructed timeline of when you're supposed to get married, who you're supposed to marry, when you're supposed to have kids, what your house is supposed to look like, where you're supposed to live, all of that. I really detach myself from that. So again, when these, like, seemingly major life events happen, I feel a lot of ease around it because I just know it's all made up. It's all made up. And if we are all living on this floating rock, living in a white man's imagination, I choose to live in my own imagination instead. And I really kind of hope that's a liberating thought for us all, that we just kind of get to make it up as we go. And although I didn't have, I guess, the choice in this job exiting the way that it did, I do have a choice in what happens next, and I feel lost, but not in a bad way. In a way that's like, I have so many directions in which this can go, but I also know that I can't do everything. So I think in this next chapter, I think in this next month or two for sure, the focus is going to be really inward on what's important to me, what's next, what do I want my life to look and feel like, and does that mean searching for another job? Maybe. Does that mean pouring all of myself into, you know, entrepreneurship again? Maybe. I would love a mix of both. Who knows? Maybe it's just lying in the sun and enjoying the rest, because I don't have to feel like I deserve the rest, you know, like it's here, it's being offered to me. So I feel like I should just take it. In any case, that's kind of the short, somewhat short version of how I got laid off this year. It was not how I expected it was going to go down, but just, you know, everything I could have hoped for in a layoff. I really hope that if you're someone who has gone through this or is going through this, know that it sucks. Like it's never a fun time. I think that it really kind of rocks other parts of your life, right? Like when, like the image of these buckets again, like when one suddenly empties or one suddenly drops from your hand, right? Like the imbalance of everything else. So if this is something that has happened to you or is happening to you, I'm really sorry that it happened to you. You probably didn't deserve it. And I know that it's a difficult time is what I'm trying to say, and that you're not alone in it. But I do feel like there's a lot of shame and guilt around losing a job, like you had any say in it, but you didn't. And, you know, regardless of how a job ends, you know, through a layoff or getting fired or whatever, I don't think that it has any bearing on a person's actual value, worth, or, you know, how I would hold them in regard. What am I trying to say right now? I would still hold them in high regard, you know, like that's the thing I'm trying to say. But yeah, a lot of people have reached out recently since I've been laid off. And here's the other piece, a little bonus one at the end here that I wasn't expecting, but now is just coming to me, is I know that this is going to be fine because I have the support of community. I have the support of my ancestors. But like, really, these days, I have been feeling the support of community. And that's an episode that I want to get into, I think, at a later time, is all the places that I've been this year, I have felt really supported by community. And I'm very grateful. If you're listening still here now, I'm very grateful for you. And even if your support for me through community is just in listening to this podcast, I see you and I am very grateful for you. This journey of ease through a very difficult or seemingly difficult life event is possible through the love and support of community. Like, Kapo Magic is so special. It is so special. And you know what? Maybe that should have been like the first and foremost point of this podcast. Well, I guess I'll just re-record the whole thing now and start from this point. But yeah, the reason why this feels easy is because I just know that I'm supported. And I really hope that in any small ways in your life, you can tap in and feel that love of community support all of the time. All right, folks, that'll take us to the end of episode 5 of Tita Talks. As always, you can catch us on Radio Kapwa live from 2 to 3 p.m. And I will see you at the next one. Happy New Year, Kapwa.
Ako ngayon nakapikit sa masyaring mga bagay ang naiisip. Di mapigilan ang sarili na magangat. Di sa tinatamad. Ito ang aking paraan upang agad-agad na maranasan ang iba't ibang karanasan. Ako'y nalilibang sa gantong gawi. Ako'y nauuwi sa labis na pangiti. Lagi na lang ganito. Kailan kaya magpapagkatotoo sa nararamdaman ng aking puso? Sa panaginip laging naiinip, hindi mo hari naman ang isip. Kada susulyap laging may adlang, kaya aking idinadaan sa pagpapunta siya. Ng mga senaryo. Ipinagkait ng saan sinukob mga tanyag ba na maaari kong maging sagot. Ipang nababagot, ibabaling na naman sa pagsuot. Ang mapanay lang na imahinasyon sa palaisipan. Wala buhan, di maiwasan kahit pangalabanan. Makakailan pa ba? Sa panaginip laging naiinip. Hanggang kailan ba ko magpapauto sa sariling mundo? Kailan ba ko magpapauto sa sariling mundo?
Isang ngiti na hulog. Mapahiya at ba nakita kita? Naaalala ko tuloy mga dating alaala. Masaya na dapat, ba't pag inulo mo pa? Nananahimik ako rito, ba't pa bumalik ka pa? Sadyang mapaglaro ang tahanan. Kung bilang ko bulan, di pa rin sayang. Maiwasang matignan ka o sinta ang mga tawagan natin. Sa isip di ko mabura ha. Sadyang mapag
still think about you. If I get old, how about you? How about you? How about you? Sodina gagana, ang hirap lang kasi na maniwala. Ang daming iba dyan na sa paligid, yeah. Pero ikaw na lang gusto na manatili, yeah. Kaya sana lang, huwag maging biktima ng iyong nakaraan. Di rin naman natin gusto magkaganyan ka. Pangako ko maiintindihan ka. Huwag lang mamihasa, di na ako natuto. Sa akin di laro to. Sana gano'n mo rin tinitig na lahat. Kasi puso mo na habol ko at di lang katawan. Di rin kita masisinay kung para ako sa iba dyan. Paano na lang kung sa iba ka mapunta? Paano na lang di ko alam baka mapano ako niyan? O paano ako niyan? Paano na yung intention ko sa'yo? Natutuo lang shadow.
Nakalaan sa aking bagay na yung titikman hanggang tayo magkainitan. May hiyap ay ikbitan, lagi laing pagsisilbihan. Mahiwagan ng masindihan pagkatapos ating titikman. Maagos ng mga puta ng umaga, asingin bawat isa ang pamama. Ipapadama sa'yo, hindi mo inakala. Sumisigaw sa kama, lakas lang yung tama. Dito ka lang muna, baby. Cause you know I've been missing you lately. We gon' fuck all night through crazy. And I'm gonna kiss you through hazy. Gotta get that comma, cause you know I don't want no stress. But you know I'm feeling blessed. Yeah, while you are in that dress. Yeah, you know my weakness. Ikaw, pinaikot nila ko pinasayaw.
Ba't talaga ang aking pananaw? Alam ko na kailangan mo, hindi hilaw. Gusto ko sa aking alam mo lupot. Baby, alam mo na kasunod. Titirahin ang patalikod. Babaong ko to hanggang pusod. Tamahin mo ang bawat minuto. Gusto mo ba itong iniisulto? Alam mo naman na aking punto. Iba talaga pag ako may gusto. Gusto ko sa aking alam mo lupot. Baby, alam mo na kasunod. Titirahin ang patalikod. Babaong ko to hanggang pusod. Tamahin mo ang bawat minuto. Gusto mo ba itong iniisulto? Alam mo naman na aking punto. Iba talaga pag ako may gusto.
Gusto ko sa iyo lang.
Good afternoon, magandang hapon, bon après-midi, and bon année. This is Laura, here to remind you that all the songs you've heard on the Sari Sari playlist today will be available within the next few days on www.ckut.ca/playlists/RY. So go check that out if there are any songs that tickled your fancy. I don't know why that was the only way I thought of saying that. Low-key sounds gross. What is the etymology of tickle your fancy anyway? Anyway, our team is still on our well-deserved break. We will be back next week with another interview with Kapwa for y'all. So for now, happy 2024 to all the listeners of Radio Kapwa here today on our first episode of 2024. I hope you guys join us some more in the year as we build more segments, talk deeper, and highlight more Kapwa here on Radio Kapwa on CKUT 90.3 FM. Catch us next week and every week on Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Mabuhay!
Have you ever wanted to work at CKUT? We are now hiring for a new full-time staff member. The Partnerships and Admin Coordinator is a full-time position responsible for the sale of on-air advertisements and co-presentation partnerships, as well as some administrative tasks. This is a permanent role at the heart of CKUT staff that ensures an essential source of revenue and flow of community connections that are vital for the station. It is ideal for a bilingual go-getter who knows the city well and has a passion for community projects. Help us spread the word. The deadline for applications is January 3rd. Please visit www.ckut.ca for more details.
Hello, check it out. Canada, this is the doctor.
Yo, this is Slim Kid.
This is Fat Lip.
This is Imani.
This is the Far Side.
That's who we are. Yo, check it out. We're just chilling. You know what I'm saying? Yo, Imani, what station are we on? CKUT
90.3
FM. Cool.
CKUT?
Yeah.
Hey, yo, check this out. This is Flavor Flav, and you're listening to C. Hey, yo, check 1, 2. This is Flavor Flav, Public Enemy. You listening to K. Yo, check 1, 2. This is Flavor Flav, Public Enemy. And you listening to CKUT and the place to be from the bottom to the TOP.
Yeah, perfect, man. Thanks a lot, man. Keep doing that. Real heads, keep listening.
Do it all the way live, step aside.